Well, I certainly enjoyed that message by our dear brother tonight on Jonah. And I really love the way he went over to Matthew chapter 12 and brought out some statements that our Lord Jesus made about Jonas. And I might just comment on that a little in Hebrews in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Is it scriptural for us to ask God for signs? I think probably not. He has given us His Word. And I don't know that you and I need to be asking for signs. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That's sobering, isn't it? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs. That would not be good company. And there shall be no sign to be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Anybody who doubts the story of Jonas being true is going to have trouble with this verse, because Jesus Christ believed that there was a man named Jonas, and that he was in the belly of the fish. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jonah, strangely enough, is a shadow or a type of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God would use Jonah to be a type of our Savior. And you know, when Jonah was thrown overboard, you remember a great storm came up on the sea where Jonah was? And when they threw him overboard, what happened? A great calm came. What happened when Jesus Christ was crucified? He brought a great peace between God and His children. Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights, and when he came out, what did he do? He went and preached to the Gentiles. And that's what Jesus did, isn't it? He took the gospel to the Gentiles. So Jonah, our Lord Jesus, would use Jonah as a type of Himself. And it is so true that if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain and we are yet in our sins. So the relevant question tonight is, how many of y'all believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Come on now, that's a legitimate question in church, isn't it? How many of y'all really believe that Jesus Christ came out of the grave 3 days after He was dead and buried? I do. And if Christ is raised, you know what? We're not in our sins. Everybody He died for is now free from their guilt of sin because Jesus paid their sin debt on the cross. So we rejoice that our Lord Jesus would use a sinner like Jonah to represent Himself. But Jonah, the story of Jonah, certainly teaches us how not to live our lives on this earth. He was disobedient to the call of God on his life. God called him to go to Nineveh, and Jonah said, I'm not going. I'm going somewhere else. But I want to just say tonight, beloved, if God has called you to do something, I would encourage you to do it, because you can't outrun God. You can't hide from Him. He has a ways and means committee of getting our attention. Would y'all agree with that? He has certainly gotten mine on many occasions. And if we forget God, he will do whatever it takes to remind us of him, whether it's a calamity or sickness or loss or repeated failure, heartbreak. I'm not saying that every time you have trouble in life, it's because of a sin you've committed. But sometimes God does use calamities to get our attention, to bring us back to his call. And does God have a right to call us? Yes. He loves us. He died for us. And if we don't obey him, did you know there's a hell on this earth? How many of y'all didn't know that? The Bible says that Jonah, in the belly of the whale, cried out and said, he said, out of the belly of hell cried I. Now you think about that. We know there's an eternal hell the Bible talks about, but there's a lot of them here on earth that you and I can get into. Here is Jonah in the belly of a fish, and he's wrapped in seaweeds. It's as dark as midnight under a washpot. I remember one time I went with a friend of mine to Sunday school. I don't know how my folks ever allowed that, but I did. And I remember the lesson that day. They had a picture of Jonah, and he was in a comfortable little cabin inside this fish, and he had a table, and he had a candle. I mean, he was very comfortable. Well, that is not a scriptural picture of Jonah. He was wrapped in seaweeds. It was totally dark. He was up and down. And can you imagine the odor that was in that fish? That man was in trouble. And he said, out of the belly of hell cried I. And I want to just say to all of God's children here tonight, if we are disobedient to God, God does have a way of putting us in a similar situation. Do y'all believe that? Does God have a right to do that? He does. He's God. And if he calls on us to do something, we should be doing it. Now, I want to turn back with you all this evening to Ephesians chapter 6. This morning I gave a brief outline of the book of Ephesians, where in the first three chapters, the apostle shows us that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is seated in heaven, having finished his work of saving us on the cross. And we're also seated with him in the heavenly places. Representatively, you and I are already in heaven tonight. Did you know we're as sure of going to heaven as Jesus is in heaven tonight? That's right. Is Jesus in heaven? We know he is. He's at the right hand of the Father. And you're going to be there just as sure as he's already there, because he died for you and he's already representatively raised us up together to be with him in glory. So the work is finished, and the work of salvation. You and I are not helping God save anybody. He's already saved us from our sins. He said it is finished. But then Paul tells us what we're to be doing in this life. We're to be walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. We're to be walking in love. We're to be walking in light. We're to be walking circumspectly, that is, cautiously and carefully in this world. Beloved, don't be impulsive. Try to follow the Spirit of God and the Word of God as you're walking through this world. Then in chapter 6, the apostle tells us that we're to be standing against the evil one. Sit, walk, and stand will help you to remember the book of Ephesians. And down in verse 11 of chapter 6, or verse 10, the apostle says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, why do we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Because we are going to be called on to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to be called on to war against the devil. And we're to wrestle against the not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're seated with Christ in glory tonight, representatively. Hopefully we are walking in fellowship with Him and one another as we live out our days on this earth. And hopefully we are standing against the evil that is in this world. And if you're going to stand against the evil, you're going to need strength. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That is, in a spiritual way. You know, it's interesting, but the military is not drafting people anymore, but they won't take volunteers, people my age. Why do you think the Army wouldn't want me? Y'all can go ahead and say it. I won't be offended. They don't take people my age. And there's a lot of others here tonight that wouldn't be interested in taking you, because the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines want young men that are strong and can withstand a lot of difficulties and trials. Well, now, in God's kingdom, He wants people that are strong. But He wants us to be strong spiritually. Amen? I have seen people sit in wheelchairs for the last 60 years. We've had them here at Cool Springs in the past. And they're sitting in a wheelchair, and they're weak, and they're frail. They can't even walk into this building. But they are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, God isn't interested in our physical strength. He's not looking for somebody that can do 50 push-ups or run 5 miles. He's looking for somebody that'll be leaning on the everlasting arms. And you and I need enough sense to know that we are weak in ourselves. How many of y'all love that song, "I am weak, but Thou art strong"? I love that, don't y'all? That is so true. We are so weak. Mr. America, whoever that might be, is weak as far as this battle is concerned in himself. But you and I need to be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me tell you, when God is your strength, you're a match for the devil himself. But otherwise, we are no match for him. You say, "Brother Sam, where do I get that strength?" Not by exercising or riding your bicycle or eating eating, you know, good healthy food. You're going to get this strength on your knees, asking God to help you. And let me tell you, I've spent not nearly enough time, but I've spent a lot of time in my life on my knees, facing situations I was no match for, and driven to my knees, knowing that God was my only hope. And I can tell you tonight, my witness, I want to give you all my testimony. Y'all, you know, you can't have a testimony without a test. I want to give you all my testimony tonight. God is faithful. What's your testimony? Has God ever let you down? Has He never come through for you? No. No, sir. When you go to Him, you'll find help. You'll find strength. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I've heard people say, "You know, I just can't control what I say. I just say whatever I want to say, and it does damage." But, well, I tell you, somebody can help you control that tongue. You know who it is? It's not the devil. No, sir, he's going to use your tongue to do a lot of damage if you'll let him. I like that expression, "I need a speed bump between my brain and my mouth." Any of y'all need a speed bump there? Slow you down with what you're saying? Listen, You and I don't have to talk out of turn. We don't have to say things that are unbecoming or harsh. By God's grace, we can study to be quiet and to mind our own business and to do our own work and not meddle in other people's business. But you can't do that in yourself. James said, no man can tame the tongue. But he said, you can bridle it. Right? And you know how you can do that? By praying to God and saying, Lord, help me to get a bridle on my tongue so I don't go around hurting people, so I don't go around offending people. How many of y'all like to be offended? How many of y'all, you know, I had a friend of mine one time says, I'm just being frank. I said, no, you're just being mean as the devil. I didn't hold back, and I don't think God held me. I don't think I was doing wrong. He was. He was, I'm just being frank, brothers. No, you're just being mean. Let's not try to justify ourselves by just saying, I'm being frank. There's a time, of course, to maybe give counsel to people or advice. However, at my age, I found out most people don't want your advice. And even if they ask for it, you might better pray before you give it. Am I talking to anybody in the house tonight that's got a problem with your mouth? I tell you, one of my favorite expressions is never miss an opportunity to keep your big mouth shut. I got an amen out of that. Now, y'all, listen, I'm serious, beloved. Did you know wars have been started over careless words? Men have gone to battle over idle words between leaders. We need leaders that know how to bridle their tongue. We need pastors that know how to do it. We need deacons. We need church members that know how to bridle their tongue. Because I want to tell you, Satan will use your tongue to do a lot of damage if you're not careful. So Paul would say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So don't come to me and say, now, Brother Sam, I just can't help it because, you know, this is my weakness. This is one little habit I've got. I can't do anything about it. Let me tell you, God will help you. I want to encourage anybody in the house tonight that's struggling with any kind of bad habit, whatever it is, whether it's jealousy or pride or lust or greed, whatever it is, I want to tell y'all God can help you deal with it. Do y'all believe that? Or do y'all looking for excuses? Excuses are for losers. I want to point y'all to somebody that can give you strength in your Christian life. It's amazing, isn't it? What God can do when we yield ourselves to Him. So Paul would say in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, and you have to put it on just like we put our clothes on this morning. We can put on the whole armor of God, and I've got the word "whole" circled in my Bible because you don't want just part of the armor. You want the whole armor. The whole armor of God. Not only put it on, but keep it on. That's what we need to do. And then he would say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against. There's that word stand. Did y'all see that? Y'all look alive. You know, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to be in trouble. I heard about a church that built a beautiful pulpit and very elaborate pulpit furniture. And they wanted their pastor to sit in the pulpit during the singing. And he wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it. And they said, Pastor, we spent a lot of money on that pulpit furniture and we want you sitting in it during singing. He said, I'm not going to do it. They said, why? He said, I'm not going to tell you because you'll fall out with me. They kept on. He finally said, okay, if I sit up there for 30 minutes and look at your sad countenances, I won't have the heart to preach. I remember Brother Sonny Pyle saying one time, we need a big mirror right up here where y'all can see what y'all look like to the preacher. It doesn't hurt to smile, to nod your head, to look connected. I was at a church a while back where somebody was sitting on the back playing with their smartphone. That's not what church is about. We need to get plugged in. Help the preacher. Look excited if you're not. That kind of helps, doesn't it? I know I'm in trouble, so I've been in trouble before. You know, a sister down at Oak Grove told me a while back, she said, Brother Sam, she said, my husband always told me, never tell the preacher you enjoyed his sermon because it'll give him the big head. She said, but I just got to tell you, I enjoyed the message today. That blessed me. And I said to her, sister, most preachers I know aren't suffering from a big head. They're suffering from discouragement. They need some encouragement. If you get a blessing out of a message, just say to the poor preacher, God bless me today. That's all you got to say. You haven't got to brag. Is that being ugly? Just stay with me a little while here. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Paul is going to be describing something you deal with every day in your life, and I deal with it. And it's spiritual warfare. And it's not an afternoon battle that'll be over at sundown. It's a lifetime battle. You're going to be fighting it till the day you die. How many of y'all believe that? Satan is dangerous. He's cunning. His wiles are very deceptive. And let me tell you, if he got Adam and Eve in the garden, and he got Noah drunk, and he got Abraham lying, and he got Moses hitting the rock, what chance are you and I got against him? Unless we stay close to the Lord Jesus. Are y'all with me tonight? See, I'm up here trying to tell y'all something that I need. See, preachers mostly preach to themselves. They preach what they need. I need this. You're going to be in a battle the rest of your life. And it's close combat. It's wrestling. It's not just firing darts. It's wrestling. Satan comes up close. Sends his demons. And let me tell you, he comes to steal. How many of y'all love thieves? He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. And he's after you, and he's after me, and he's after our children, our grandchildren. I tell you, lately I've been praying for my children and grandchildren that God would send his angels and just keep them safe. Do y'all believe in angels? How many of y'all believe there are angels? How many of y'all believe they're ministering servants? And you and I ought to be praying to God for our children, our grandchildren. I tell you, I've got 7 grandchildren. Nelda's got several. We love them. But the devil wants every last one of them. Do you know that? And we ought to be praying for them and for ourselves. Because let me tell you, millions are falling. Satan cannot take our eternal life. I hope nobody left here today thinking that I was saying that Satan could get us eternally if Jesus wants us. No, he can't take away our eternal life. If he did, it wouldn't be eternal. It'd been temporary life. But I want to tell you, he can get you down here. He can get me. And so Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, our enemy is not human. If it was human, it wouldn't be so bad. But against principalities. Listen to that. Principalities. What does that word mean? He's the prince of darkness. Satan is. He's real, he's powerful, and we are wrestling against principalities, against powers. And I want to tell you, that word powers, when you look it up in the Greek, it actually is talking about a supernatural power, far beyond any power that's in my body today. We're wrestling against powers that want to destroy us, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers of the darkness. Satan operates in the dark. If he could ever be exposed, if people knew what his motives were, he would be out of business. But he's working in the dark, and he's got rulers everywhere. He's got rulers over, I suspect, every nation on the face of this earth. There are over 150 nations, and in every government of every nation are people under the influence of Satan. They're being ruled by darkness. We've got them in Washington, D.C. It's a swamp up there. And let me tell you, multitudes of those people, especially those in the deep state, are under the influence of darkness. Hollywood. What do you think Hollywood is? It's the dominion of Satan. He's taken over Hollywood. Did you know there was a time I watched some old movies made back in the 30s and 40s, because you don't have to worry about profanity or pornography or nudity or anything like that. Now, they did smoke. I never have thought smoking was so much a sin as it is a health issue, like eating too much sugar. But let me tell you, Hollywood, there was a time when they weren't allowed to use any profanity. They had to turn Washington, D.C. upside down when they made Gone with the Wind just to get one little curse word right there at the end when Rhett was leaving Scarlet. Y'all probably know what I'm talking about. One little cuss word. And Washington didn't want it. Now, what in the world? I don't go see movies anymore. It's so offensive. And every last one of them's going to curse God. I guarantee you they're going to get that in there with the PGs. Satan has got Hollywood. And Hollywood has got a lot of us. The rulers of the darkness of this world. This is serious tonight I'm talking about. I'm talking about seriousness. If somebody announced that a lion had just escaped and is outside that door, how many of y'all would just run out there and let your kids go? Guarantee you, we'd all be very cautious, wouldn't we? We'd be sober and vigilant. Well, Peter says there is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. I want to tell you, let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge before you and one another, we are no match for the rulers of the darkness of this world. But Father, we know that you have all power. And we come to you tonight to pray that you'll keep us, our children, our grandchildren, this church, this community, keep us safe, Heavenly Father. We know we're weak in ourselves, but you are mighty. You kept the Apostle Paul. You blessed him to live such a faithful life. You've helped so many through the years. Help us, dear Father. Help us to understand what we are up against. We're thankful that we're seated with Christ in glory, representatively. And we want to walk with one another in love here. And we want to stand against the enemy. Give us understanding, Heavenly Father. And those that have been caught up by Satan, and they've been ensnared by alcohol or drugs or whatever, we pray for them tonight that you would rescue them and bring them back to you in fellowship. Father, we pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.